Welcome to Ed Show number 116. And we have a bunch of news today.
We haven't been together on a show in a while, man.
I know. You're just so busy with all your other shows. It's crazy. I got to pull you in, man. I got to be like, Rick, stop. Come here, man.
We've got a ton of news, though.
We'll kick us off.
So we got NBA content.
Yeah. So the most important one for those of you, especially out there who may have open source questions of any type, today, you know, we're going to be talking about Docker, which runs on Linux. So I thought it was a particularly relevant. September 3rd, 4th, we have live Q&A, right, for a lot of different topics here, as you can see. And there's a lot of folks on the instructor team from various expertises. So it can be open source related to IT or ops. It can be open source related to dev. But wanted to make sure you had the opportunity to tune in live, get your questions answered about open source and Microsoft. Next up, man.
Automating the cloud with Azure Automation. This is not an MVA course that's going on. This is a course that's already been published. So yours is a live one. This one, yours has already been published. It's going to be basically covering off the basics of the new Azure Automation service. You do not need to have a big on-premises infrastructure or any on-premises infrastructure whatsoever to get the new Azure Automation service up and running. It's enabled by one of the Azure agents that's installed, obviously. And it's actually really, really cool to go through and take a look at it, to how to automate it, how to put the agents in, how to go off and create your runbooks, and then going off and running them yourself.
The way I like to say is you want job scheduling, you have those things you love to do in PowerShell, but now you wanted to just run them all from within the Azure, boom, do it. You know, spin up environments, tear down stuff, goodness.
So that one there is available on the MVA Academy. Yep. Go take a look at the link and check that one out.
Yep. Another course that we have that's new is the Corporate Apps Anywhere with Microsoft Azure Remote App. For those of you who don't know, that is something that we announced at TechEd North America. And this is kind of our answer to, I would say, desktop virtualization, where, you know, you instead of virtualizing a whole desktop, why not just have anybody run on any device that you want and stream the apps? And that's kind of the story there for remote apps. So this gives you a little bit of an idea of how to do that right now.
Our good friends over at Cloud Cover, that does their show on Fridays, actually had one of the engineering guys and one of the TPMs, Thomas, was on their show talking about this a little while ago. So MVA course to be able to go off and complement that one there. Go check that one out if you're interested. And we've got these lovely cloud ecosystem posters. Now these posters started off probably about three, four years ago. They've gotten quite popular as a good way to visualize all sorts of different services and how they're used on a variety of different things. So I've seen them for Hyper-V, I've seen them for storage, for private cloud, for public cloud, and that sort of stuff. So in this case, they have one that's now up and available about the entire ecosystem, about Azure services, service catalogs, the data synchronization, app services, all the stuff that's also tying into Windows Intune and the Server 2012 R2. So quite intensive and quite comprehensive as well. And I love the fact that you're just sitting there zooming in, taking a look at the details and different sections on things. It's all touch-enabled, which is great. So the poster has been published. Go off and take a look at that one.
Absolutely. Next up, we have some enhancements to sysinternal tools. I mean, and I had to put this one in there. Us IT folks out there, we love sysinternal tools. A couple updates here. I'm not going to get into all of them. One of them, Process Explorer. So there, you know, it's a great one if you want to go even deeper than what Task Manager provides for you. You know, checking into crashes and other things. If you're a person that watches the case of Unexplained, then these sysinternal tools will definitely be for you.
Sysmon was also released, version 1.0 on that particular one there. It's a new one that goes through and basically is looking at all your different key system activities and events logs. Kind of like captures it all up in one spot. It's funny, we had a question at Tech in North America when I was interviewing Mark Rusinovich about the developer team that goes off and works with sysinternals. There's just one, and his name is Mark Rusinovich. There's not like a team of people that go off and work on these things. So when a new tool comes out or an update comes out, very good to know. I'm also a huge fan of the auto runs that save my butt a number of times for going off and fixing a number of things with regards to systems and malware. So Sysmon, sysinternal tools, up to date. Go check out that one there.
Next up, man, another Azure storage copy tool. Right?
Now, if you're American, it's called AZ Copy. If you're North American or if you're international English, it's AZ Copy.
AZ. There
so I would say this is AZ Copy release 2.5 is now up for this one here. AZ Copy is your tool for being able to go through and manage and work with your different storage accounts and the blobs and the content with inside those storage accounts. It's a third-party tool that is quite popular to be able to go off and to copy and replicate content between different sites and different locations, and also taking advantage of doing data center copies and subscription copies and things like that. So if you got to move blobs, otherwise known as VHDs, for the way that most of us end up working with blob storage on the IT pro side of things, AZ Copy can be your friend among other third-party tools. But the new version 2.5 was just released at the beginning of the month.
There you go. Okay. Last but not least, we have some new PowerShell extensions for DSC or desired state configuration. This is pretty cool because, you know, not only can you deploy resources in Azure, deploy the infrastructure, you now have, right, we have a script extension that you can attach to VMs. You can apply a DSC script, right, to Azure itself as well and enforce those different types of configurations that you have inside of your environment, right? So it's kind of the good end-to-end story on configuration management on top of the great provisioning that's already been there in PowerShell.
Yeah, you're gonna notice an awful lot of extensions becoming available, almost as popular as the gallery images that are done by our partners and everything else like that. One of the advantages of the extension is the fact that it plugs in as the machine is deployed or just after the machine is deployed, so you don't have to worry about maintaining that image. And so you'll see that some of the extensions that exist in there right now are security extensions or simply monitoring extensions. More coming online. This one here is now out to be able to do DSC or desired state configuration. So I'm excited. The extensions is a really cool thing that is coming up and gaining more popularity, if you will, with our partners to do different things. So glad to see it's published and cool. It's good to go.
Yeah, well, with that, we are going to be diving into Docker that is going to be running on top of Microsoft Azure. So if you're new to Docker, this will be for you. If you're familiar with Docker, this will be new to you because you probably haven't run it on Microsoft Azure before. So stay tuned. All right, welcome to the Edge Show. And today I am joined by a remote guest, Andrew Weiss. So, Andrew, what's your role here at Microsoft?
Thanks, David. I appreciate you having me on the show today. So, I'm currently a full-time employee in Microsoft Consulting Services. I work on the Azure Infrastructure as a Service Center of Expertise team and get to experience a lot of really cool customer engagements and help our customers migrate their platforms to Azure and also deploy some of their workloads on Azure as well. So,
Really excited to be here. Awesome. Well, you know, the word on the street is that you have done some work with Docker and PowerShell and DSC in particular. Is that true?
It is. Docker has become my go-to. I absolutely love the tool, and I think it's a really great platform for, you know, developers and infrastructure pros out there to really get used to and familiar with, especially with our support of it on Azure. So.
Okay, cool. Well, I definitely wanted to dive into that today. I know a lot of folks out there probably don't know what Docker is, so I wanted to briefly kind of cover, you know, what is Docker and what's involved with that.
So, sure.
Yeah.
So Docker's awesome. I absolutely love the tool, and I think it's really easy to use once you get familiar with some of the concepts. And what it really is essentially a way to manage Linux containers. And a container is simply an isolated process that the kernel provides for separating resources like storage, networking, and compute containers. And what Docker provides is simply a client tool to manage those containers. And in those containers, you can put things like web applications, services, data, and so forth. And you can create what are called Docker files, which essentially are blueprints for your containers across the environment. So, you know, it's maybe a little bit new for those that aren't familiar with some Linux fundamentals, but, you know, once you get accustomed to how containers work and some of the tool sets that Docker provides, they're actually really easy to use and they work really well across both development teams and operations teams.
Okay. So obviously Docker is not a Microsoft thing at all. In fact, right, it runs on Linux. How does this in any way relate to Microsoft stuff?
Yeah, so that is correct. It is entirely based on kernel. And while you can run it on Windows using a virtual machine on top of the Hyper-V virtualization platform, where Docker really comes into play in the Microsoft ecosystem is on Azure. We provide full support of provisioning Azure virtual machines with Docker and the extensions pre-installed, and so using the Azure Cross-Platform CLI, which I'll show later on in the demo. And we provide all the support necessary to provision your Docker hosts and run them on Azure, just as you would any other virtual machine running any Linux kernel or distribution.
All right, well, that sounds cool, man. So, I mean, without further ado, I'd love to just dig in and kind of take a look at you know, what does it do and what does it look like? So what are you going to show us starting off with?
Yeah, so this demo will be kind of a multi-part demo where first I'll show you that I'm running a Linux virtual machine on just simply client Hyper-V, and on that virtual machine I have the Docker client tools pre-installed. Also walk through some of the basic installation steps as well. But I really want to show you guys, you know, how Docker's used, some of the available commands that you can use, and how easy it really is to pull what are called images and run what are called containers to applications and services in. And then from there, we'll actually deploy Docker on Azure and show how you can create a simple web application and corresponding database application in kind of a linked container scenario, all running on Azure and exposed via the Azure Public API.
Okay, cool. So I guess the first part is just kind of the local thing. So you want to show us that now?
Correct, yep.
Okay, cool.
Let's dive in. So to begin this demo, I'm currently SSH'd into a local virtual machine running on my Hyper-V client here. It's running a version of Ubuntu, and for the purposes of this demo and due to time constraints, I've already pre-installed the Docker daemon and client-side utilities, but we've provided instructions at the end of the show for you to download the tools and learn how to install it yourselves. So I'll also note that before running any commands, I'm going to preface everything with sudo, and we'll run a couple of commands initially just to show that Docker's been installed and some of the commands that are available to you via the Docker client. So the first one we'll run is sudo docker version, and the version command provides me with the versions of all the services and APIs included as part of Docker. So you can see the client version installed 1.2, and the client API version 1.14, and the API is simply a REST API that's provided that exposes all of the functionality of Docker, like containers and images and so forth. So if you want to see some of the other commands installed, I'll go ahead and clear my console here. You can do a simple sudo docker. And you see there's tons of different commands that you can use. And for our demo, we're going to be mostly using the images command. We'll use the inspect command once, and we'll also use the run command to show how you can pull images from what is known as the Docker Hub, which contains a repository of images stored on Docker servers. And then also the run command, which allows us to create containers, which we'll use later on to actually create a web container and a MongoDB instance container, and allow us to link those containers to create together to create a running web application. So we'll go ahead and clear the console again. And the first part of our demo, now that we have the Docker client installed and ready to go, what we want to do is we want to actually provision a new Docker host running on Azure. And to do that, we use what's known as the Azure Cross-Platform CLI. And the Cross-Platform CLI is simply a Node.js module or NPM module that provides a whole bunch of extensibility and functionality to interact with Azure using command line tools. And we can verify that those tools are installed by simply typing the word Azure. And you could see some basic information about some of the default commands provided to us. In our case, we're going to be using the VM command to create a new Docker host. And as of the latest releases of the Azure Xplat CLI, we can directly provision a host running a specific flavor of Linux on Azure and pre-configured with all of the daemon and services and certificates that we need to deploy a new VM. So before we actually run the creation command, what we want to do is we want to get a list of all the latest distributions of Ubuntu images running on Azure and available to us to create the virtual machine. So the first command we'll run is we'll do an Azure VM image list. And this command lists all the images available as part of our subscription. And I'll also note that I've already imported my published settings certificate file, which is something to note that you'll want to do before running any Azure commands using the Cross-Plat CLI. And those instructions will be provided as well. So if we run this command and we pipe this into grep 1404, what this is going to do is it's going to actually filter out only the images that have the word 14_04 in the title, which means it's going to actually only find the distributions that are tagged for Ubuntu 14.04, which is the latest LTS release that we're going to use for the deployment of our Docker virtual machine. So go ahead and run this. And this will take a couple seconds to connect up to Azure, pull a list of images, and so forth. And you can see that we have a whole bunch of available images to us. We have some default images, which are released on a monthly basis, and then we also have some daily builds. And we'll go ahead and use the latest daily build for the purposes of this demo. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and simply, in my SSH console here, I'm going to go ahead and copy the name of the image and keep it on my clipboard here. And we'll clear the screen again. So what we're going to do to begin is to create our virtual machine on Azure. We're going to use the Azure VM create command, but a slight modification of it. The developers have provided us with a Docker extension, which allows us to execute that command with the word Docker and directly provision a host running on Azure with all of the Docker components and daemon pre-installed and ready to go. So we'll go ahead and kick that command off by running Azure VM Docker create. And we're going to pass a few options to it. First, the dash E option, and use port 22 to ensure that indeed we'll use that port as the default. We'll define a location for our VM to be deployed in, and we'll choose the East US data center. We'll provide our VM with a host name. We'll call it edgeshow-docker01. And then we'll use the image that we filtered out earlier, which is that daily build of Ubuntu that's going to be our basis for the virtual machine. We'll put that in quotations. We'll give it a basic username and password combination here. And of course, in your environment, you'll want to use something a little bit more secure than something such as the defaults here. So we'll go ahead and enter. And after a few minutes, this will actually go ahead and create a new cloud service, virtual machine, provision new storage, and also the certificates needed to configure the Docker daemon running over secure HTTP or HTTPS. And by default, it'll also configure the Docker daemon to listen on port TCP 4243.
All right, man. Well, that's pretty cool. We, you know, you've got that Ubuntu VM running on top of Hyper-V. You've got the Docker tools installed. You've got the Azure Crossplat CLI installed, and then you've now provisioned, right, a Docker VM image up inside of Azure, right?
That's correct. Yes. So we use the client tools that we have locally, and then the Azure Xplat CLI to generate the certificates and create a secure connection to our Docker host running now on Azure. Which is really cool.
Okay. So that Docker host running on Azure is kind of that foundation for Docker running in the background now, right?
Correct. Now that we have a Docker client running locally or on premises, and with our Docker host now running on Azure, we can now deploy containers either locally or remotely, depending on how we want to provision our environments. So we have some of those hybrid scenarios that we've enabled as a result. Or you can use Azure solely for the purpose of deploying those web containers and services.
All right, so you know, one of the things I'm just kind of curious about is why, like, what advantage might you have to running your Docker containerization up inside of Microsoft Azure, as opposed to, let's say, for instance, on your Hyper-V box locally, right?
Yeah, so of course Docker provides the flexibility to run, you know, containers anywhere, but of course Azure provides a scalable and robust platform to deploy those containers and environments, and it's a lot easier to provision new virtual machine instances for creating new Docker hosts, or even for managing your Docker environment. You have access to a lot more robust and mature toolset like the Azure PowerShell Software Development Kit, the PowerShell CSI, or CLI, I should say, and then a various configuration management tools like we talked about, with Chef and desired state configuration. So much easier to scale and much more suitable for your larger production workloads and for creating more, you know, robust release management environments using containers and linking containers together all running on Azure. So definitely a really good story on Azure to, you know, provision your Docker hosts and get that flexibility.
Cool. Yeah, totally makes sense. Yeah, if you want the 9995 SLA, then you know, that's probably one of the good reasons anyway. So cool. Okay. So what's next? What else is the next kind of part of this?
Yeah. So the next part of this is really about digging a little bit more into Docker and show how we can create kind of a blueprint for deploying a web application. And that web application is going to be a basic boilerplate application using a brand new open source script framework called Platypus TS. We'll show everyone how you can pull in an image from the Docker Hub and create a container running a MongoDB instance to support that application. See how easy it is to really deploy containers. And
cool. Okay. Well, yeah. Let's go to that now.
Definitely. So now here in the portal, we can see that our virtual machine running the Docker extension and all the components we need is ready to go. It's running. We can verify that by the running status here in the portal. And I also want to point out that you can see that the two endpoints have been created, one for SSH, of course, and then one for the Docker endpoint, which we'll use to connect to via our local Docker installation. I also want to point out the installed extensions here provided by MS OpenTech. And the Docker extension, of course, is built into the VM and used to actually provision the Docker host directly from our command line utilities. So we'll go ahead and close this pane. And the last thing we want to do is, for the purposes of our web application, we want to make sure port 80 is actually exposed to the public on this virtual machine. So we can do so using the Azure VM endpoint create command as follows. Back in our local client here, we'll run Azure VM endpoint create. We use the dash N option to define a name for our endpoint. We'll call it HTTP. And then also in quotations here, we'll pick which virtual machine we want to assign this endpoint to, and also define our public and private TCP ports, which are both going to be 80 in our case. Go ahead and enter. It's going to go ahead and retrieve the virtual machine, read the configuration, and also create the endpoint, which we can also verify in the portal once that has been created. And now we see a successful endpoint creation status command here, and back in our portal after we've refreshed it, we can see that now port 80 has been exposed to the public. So now that our host is up and running, we want to make sure that the Docker service is also up and running, which we can connect to from our local Docker instance via the sudo docker. We'll pass the dash dash TLS option and define a host name that we're going to connect to for Docker. We'll enter that host name here. And then we'll run a simple command. We'll use the info command to get some information about this remote host. And because we've already created the certificates and they reside on our local host here, we're not going to have any issues connecting to the Docker host remotely using the TLS option. And you can see that we get information retrieved from a new Docker host, such as pool information, metadata, and disk space available. So now that we've verified that we can connect to our remote hosts, we have our virtual machine running in Azure, let's go ahead and run a couple other commands to get our workspace set up for provisioning new images, or pulling new images and creating new containers running on Docker on Azure. So we can do so first. We'll go ahead and just pull up our command history here. And instead of running the info command, we'll go ahead and run the pull command. And as I mentioned earlier, the pull command allows us to pull new images from the Docker Hub. And the images contain more of like a blueprint or definition for what's going to be contained within a certain container. And the first image that we're going to pull is the Mongo image. And the Mongo image contains all the services, daemons, and components necessary to run an instance of MongoDB, which is a NoSQL implementation. And MongoDB is going to be used to back our boilerplate web application. And by executing it with the colon latest, it's going to make sure that we pull the latest version of this image from the Docker Hub. So we'll go ahead and hit enter. And after a couple of minutes, it's going to go ahead and download all of the information about this image that we need, and it's going to store it on our virtual machine on Azure. Awesome. Now that our image has been downloaded, we can verify that the image now resides on the host by executing the same command, except with the images. And we can see that we have the latest latest version of the Mongo image, its size, and when the last version of it was updated to the Docker Hub. We'll go ahead and repeat that earlier command, but instead of pulling the Mongo image, we're going to pull an image known as docker-platinum. And this is a custom image that contains a pre-existing boilerplate web application that uses the enterprise TypeScript framework known as Platypus TS. And again, we'll use the latest tag to indicate that we want the latest version of this image. We'll go ahead and hit enter. And it'll repeat the process to download the image. Now that the second image has been pulled, we'll go ahead and run the images command again against the Azure host running Docker, just to ensure that both images reside on the host. As you can see, we now have an instance of Mongo and an instance of the /docker-platinum boilerplate, which is going to run our container with the web application. So now we'll go ahead and create our first container. And the first container is going to contain an instance of MongoDB with the daemon running and all the necessary services that MongoDB requires. So we'll use our host name that we've been using before to point to the Docker host running on Azure. And we'll use the run command with the dash D flag to indicate that we want this container to run in the background so as not to interrupt our current terminal session here. we'll define a name for the container, which will be DB, or short for database, and then we'll choose our instance of or the image Mongo that we pulled earlier in the latest iteration of it. We'll go ahead and hit enter, and it's going to create the container and define a GUID or an ID that we can identify this container by in the future. The next step we want to do is we want to actually inspect this container and retrieve an IP address that's been assigned locally within the container. And that IP is going to be used to pass into our web container, which will link to this container to ensure that the web container can connect to the MongoDB instance and actually run the boilerplate web application. So to do so, we're going to store the IP in a local variable here called MongoIP. And then within there, we're going to actually run a command to retrieve the IP address from the container. So we're going to do the Docker command again. So we'll do actually docker sudo docker tls dash h flag cloudapp.net. And as I mentioned earlier, you'd normally want to store this in an environment variable and tweak your TLS settings to ensure that you can retrieve data without having any issues. So we have our command, and we're going to actually add the inspection command to it. And the inspection command is going to allow us to actually retrieve data from the container that's running. And we want to retrieve specific data, so we can use this special formatting tag. And it uses a syntax of the Go programming language, or Golang programming language. And we can actually retrieve JSON property. And we're going to choose the IP address, of course. We'll go ahead and close out our brackets and quotes. And then we're going to actually define which container we want to pull information from, the period here, and then hit enter. And now that we have our IP address stored, we can actually echo that to make sure we actually have an IP. And you can see that the container has defined a private IP address for the MongoDB instance. And we'll actually create a new container running the boilerplate web application and use this variable containing the IP to connect to the database instance. So we'll go ahead and just kind of pull up a previous command here. We're going to use the run command again. We're going to use the dash D flag to run it in the background. We're going to use the dash P, which is going to define the port range. And we're going to use 8080, which means externally the host is going to expose port 80, and the container as well is also going to expose port 80. We'll give our container a name called web. And then we're going to use this special dash E flag, and the dash E flag actually allows us to create environment variables within the container. And we're going to use an environment variable called MongoHQ underscore URL, which is a default environment variable that's used by MongoDB to denote any default instances of MongoDB running. So we'll actually create the connection screen, MongoDB /, and use that IP address that we retrieved earlier, or MongoIP, and then we'll create the instance. The database, we'll just call it Platinum Dev, and we'll close that environment variable up. The next environment variable we're going to pass to this new container is just going to be a simple port equals 80. And this is actually simply recognized by the web application running to denote that it's going to actually run over port 80 instead of using a default private port. And all this information, of course, can be found in the supporting documentation that we'll provide at the end of the show. Then we'll go ahead and use the dash link option. The dash link option allows us to link the container we're going to create with an existing running container, so that way we have network communication and other abilities to communicate between the containers. And we'll use this db colon db syntax, and then we'll actually choose which image we want this container to be based off, this new web container, and we'll use that Docker Platinum latest image that we pulled earlier. So we'll go ahead, double check everything's right here. We have our container, we have our environment variables and our port. And we'll go ahead and hit enter. And should create a brand new container, and it'll launch the Node.js web daemon, or the service. So now that we've actually created our container, we can go ahead and verify that the container is running by executing the ps command, if you recall from earlier. And we can see that we now have two containers running, the Platinum latest container and the Mongo latest container, or I should say the web container and the DB instance container here. And we'll go ahead and open up our browser, navigate to the host, the Docker host, hit enter. And we can see that we now have access to the Platinum boilerplate application. And of course, if you want more information about Platinum and the framework, we've provided those links as well.
Okay, wow. So we really have seen how you can really get this Docker container, make use out of it, right? Now you've got some app that's on there that you've pulled down from the Docker library, right? And So my question is, you know, so far we haven't really shown anything with configuration management, right? We've kind of provisioned it, but ensuring that consistency or doing anything more advanced, what are kind of some of the options there that you might have?
Correct. So, of course, you have the Docker client utilities to actually manage your containers in, you know, one confined place. But you also have a variety of tools or configuration management tools that you can use to provision and manage not only your Docker hosts, but actually the containers and images running on them. So there are Chef libraries and modules and Puppet modules that you can use, in addition to a brand new PowerShell desired state file that you can use. And all of those documentation or all that documentation can be found on the Docker website as well.
Okay, cool. So that PowerShell stuff is the stuff that you created, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, cool. So, you know, so folks can then, you know, what would be the advantage now of, let's say, using PowerShell DSC after kind of everything you've shown? What would be the advantage now of potentially using that?
Correct. So, you know, we know that Docker, you know, relies on Linux and the Linux kernel and various distributions to run. Well, what PowerShell DSC allows for is for Windows administrators to work more closely with the Linux teams in an organization to actually provision and manage Docker containers directly through their PowerShell console. So if a blueprint is provided by the development teams or operations teams, there's no restriction on to who can actually deploy those containers and configure those images on the Docker host running on Azure.
Okay, so you know, maybe an admin, IT admin guy who's familiar with PowerShell now could, from his own client administration box, even on premises, he could then, you know, have some mechanism to ensure consistency for perhaps, or deploy containers up in Azure. Yeah?
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Cool. And all of the DSC source is open source, so anyone can go in, pull the code down, make some modifications that are specific to, you know, the environment that you're working in.
Okay. Very cool stuff. All right. Well, where would you recommend folks to kind of dig in and learn more?
Yeah, so there are numerous resources that individuals can learn more about Docker. Obviously, the Docker website, docker.com or docker.io, can be accessed. There are lots of installation docs and even a pseudo-working container-based environment that you can learn some of the Docker commands in. And, of course, we have information provided on the OpenTech blog for tutorials and the Building Clouds TechNet blog, PowerShell DSC configuration, for example. And then the Chef and Puppet modules also have documentation with them as well.
Very cool. All right. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Thank you, David. Really appreciate you having me on today.
Yeah, totally. All right. Goodness. All that sweet stuff on Docker, you know.
That's actually a shame to admit, but it's the first time I've seen it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Don't lie now. Don't make me call you out now. But anyway, yeah, you know, definitely if we would love to hear from you. If you have comments or questions, feedback on the interview and the technical part of the interview itself, definitely comment below on this post.
Yep.
But if you would love to interact with us, maybe there's particular topics on the Edge Show you'd like to see in the future, let us know. We have our Facebook page, Channel 9 Edge Show.
You can also reach me at @RicksterCDN.
@DTZAR.
And then the common one, which is @TNEdge for the Edge Show as well.
Absolutely.
Hey, don't forget, you can go off and download the Edge Show app if you want to for the Windows Store to be able to stay in touch with all the different episodes that have happened in the past.
That's right. And then, you know, we still are on the Channel 9 app as well. That's on the phone and whatnot. So you can watch us there.
Cool stuff. Well, all right. Thanks for having me on for the news. It's been a while.
We'll do it again soon. Thanks for coming. All right. See ya.